Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and turn over to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel is one of my favorite books in the Bible, only because when I was a kid, my grandmothers, both of them, and my mom would tell me the story of Daniel in the lion's den and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And those were two of my favorite Bible stories. And so I like the book of Daniel. I like the first few chapters of it that retell those stories. And we talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing for what's right and how God blessed them because of that stand last week. And tonight we're going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar and a dream that he had. We're actually not going to get to the dream tonight, but I just want to make a couple of points about Nebuchadnezzar and the demand that he made on his wise men. As you study the book of Daniel, as you think about King Nebuchadnezzar, you have to say that this man had somewhat of a temper. We're going to read here, he asked his wise men to tell him what his dream was and what the meaning of it was, and he says, if you don't, I'm going to kill you all and tear down your houses, turn them into dung, turn it into a garbage heap. And then, you know, when we get over and we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about where he built that, you know, statue and said, hey, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. He had quite a temper. Now, he was the world ruler. I mean, Babylon ruled the world at that point. Every nation on the earth was under Babylon rule. And so in chapter 2, I think Nebuchadnezzar, like most folks that have come close to ruling the world, got to thinking about his legacy. What was going to happen when he passed off the scene? Now, we know about his grandson. His story's told when the finger wrote on the wall, and we'll get to that. We know that his grandson wasn't a very good king, but he got to thinking about what was going to happen when he died. What was going to happen to this kingdom that he had built and ruled? And I believe that the dream that God gave him was an answer to Nebuchadnezzar thinking about that. It shows that God deals with Gentiles as well, not just Jews, but Gentiles. And so we read in chapter 2, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. And so, again, if he was thinking about his legacy, if he was thinking about what was going to happen, he dreamed a dream. And he, by the way, God actually talked to people back in that day via dreams. I don't think he does that much today because we have the Bible, and most of the things that he wants us to know, the majority of things he wants us to know are in this book. I've heard TV preachers say, well, I got a new vision from God. And I thought to myself, they didn't get a new vision from God. They got bad pizza or bad hamburgers or something. God's not given new visions. Everything he wants us to have is in here. But back in this day, God used dreams. And so here was the ruler of the world thinking about what was going to happen after he passed off the scene. And God sent him a dream in answer to that concern. And the dream woke him up. And it troubled his spirit. I think it troubled his spirit because he didn't know what it meant. He couldn't quite understand it. Now, I got to be honest with you. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, and sometimes, especially the familiar parts, we get in our mind how it plays out, how the story plays out. And sometimes when you study, somebody questions what you have in your mind. And it gets you to thinking that perhaps all along you hadn't been thinking of the story right. So let me just confess one of the things that I've always thought about Nebuchadnezzar here in chapter 2. I've always thought that he forgot his dream. That when he asked the wise men to tell them, tell me what I dreamed and what it meant, that he had actually forgotten his dream. One of the books I'm studying for our study in the book of Daniel is a little Bible study book by J. Vernon McGee. Many of you have listened to J. Vernon teach through the Bible. And J. Vernon makes the point. He said, Nebuchadnezzar didn't forget his dream. He knew what his dream was. He was asking the wise men to tell him what he dreamed and tell him what it meant, because if they couldn't tell him what he dreamed, then why should he believe their interpretation of it? But if somebody could tell him what he dreamed, you know, without him telling him, and then tell him what that dream meant, then Nebuchadnezzar could listen to that guy, because he could tell him what he dreamed. And I've always thought, I said, well, he just forgot. And the more I thought about that the past few days, I said, well, I think that's right. I don't think he forgot it. I think he was testing them to figure out if they really could tell him what the dream meant, and he couldn't do that unless he told him what he actually dreamed. And so he had this dream. Verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. So he called all the guys in his cabinet, called all his advisors together, different categories, you know, the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, all the wise men in his kingdom. Now notice, Daniel wasn't in this first group. Okay? He'd already been appointed to be part of the king's cabinet based on the test that we talked about last week, but he wasn't in this first group of wise men that Nebuchadnezzar called together. So he called together these men, had them stand before him. Verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream, or to understand the dream. Again, he felt that God was trying to tell him something in the dream. But he couldn't get it. He couldn't grasp it. And so again, he thought, he called the men that were in his court, in his kingdom, in his employ, that told the meaning of dreams to help him understand the dream. Verse 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Sirach, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. So again, most times when the wise men were called in, the person that dreamed a dream told them what they dreamed. And then they told them the interpretation. And so they thought this was going to be just like it was in the past. And so they said to the king, they said, hey, well, tell us what you dreamed and we'll be sure to tell you what it means. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And so, again, the request that these wise men made was a reasonable request. Nobody ever asked you to tell them what they dreamed. They always told you their dream, and then you told them the meaning. But here was the king saying, I want you to do both. You tell me the dream and what it means, and if you don't, I'm going to cut you in pieces, literally cut you in pieces, and tear down your houses and turn them into garbage heaps. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. So just as mean as he was on the bad side, he was also generous on the good side. If they could actually tell him the dream, what he dreamed, any interpretation, he would richly reward them. Okay? He would richly reward them. Verse 7, then answered again. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. So again, they repeated. Just, okay, we'll be happy to tell you what it means. Just tell us what you dreamed. The king answered, verse 8, and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see, the thing is gone from me. So he said, you guys are just stalling. I mean, you're just stalling for time. Just now, again, I don't think it was gone from him. I think, again, he was testing them to say, hey, if you can tell me what I dreamed, then I'm going to believe you when you tell me what it means. But if you can't tell me what I dreamed, well, I got no use for you. I'm going to get rid of you. And so he said, you're just stalling for time. Verse 9, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Now, the last part of that verse sort of indicates that he knew what the dream was. Show me the dream, and I'll believe the interpretation of it. But if he can't show me, I'm not going to believe the interpretation. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So here's what the wise men said. Said, hey, you're asking something that nobody else has asked. No king, no ruler has ever asked a wise man or a magician or an astrologer to tell them what they dreamed. What you're asking for has never been asked. And by the way, there is no man on the earth that can do what you've asked us to do. No person knows what another person dreams. I mean, we don't know what each other dreams. And what the wise men were saying, we don't know what you dream, king. We don't have that ability. We can't get into your mind and know what you were dreaming. In fact, there's no man on earth that can. Only the gods, and again, a small g, whose dwelling is not with flesh, only the gods that are not part of this world, only the gods that are not human, only the gods can do what you've asked to do. Now, notice how God was setting this up. Notice how he was setting it up. He set up a test. He set up a test in Nebuchadnezzar's mind that only he could pass, that only God could pass. He set up a test so that he could bring bring Daniel in, and again, we won't get to it tonight, but he can bring Daniel in, and Daniel can tell the king, hey, when he tells the king what his dream is and what the interpretation is, hey, it wasn't me. I'm just like all these other guys. I can't tell what you dreamed, but there's a God in heaven that knows what you dream, and he's the one that's going to make known to you the interpretation of it. And so God set this test up, gave Nebuchadnezzar this dream, again, I think in response to his concern about what was going to happen to the kingdom, so that he could show Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel that he was God, that he was God. Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He said, I'm going to kill y'all. You can't do what I ask. What good are you? If you can't tell me the dream, you can't tell me the interpretation of it. He called his soldiers in. He said, just get rid of all these guys. Just go ahead and kill them. They're no use to me. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So again, even though Daniel wasn't there, when the order from the king went out and said, hey, let's kill all the wise men, they were included. And so they looked for Daniel, they looked for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to kill them as well. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He told him what happened. He told him about the wise men being called in and what the king asked for and their response and how angry the king was. Notice verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel went into Nebuchadnezzar. Now, again, Nebuchadnezzar was mad. He was furious, the Bible says. He had given the order to kill all the wise men. Here's Daniel. Now, again, as furious as Nebuchadnezzar was, you wonder why he allowed Daniel to come into his presence when he'd already given the order for him to be killed. It was because God gave him favor with Nebuchadnezzar. It was because, remember, we ended last week in our study, Nebuchadnezzar saw Daniel and his three friends 10 times wiser than all the wise men in Babylon. I mean, they were better than anybody else. So here's this guy that's 10 times better in the king's eyes, come before the king, said, "Hey, if you'll just give me a little time, I'll tell you what you want to know. I'll tell you what you dreamed, and I'll tell you what it meant." King agreed. King said, "Okay, I'll give you some time." Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, again their Hebrew names, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They asked God for his mercy. They asked God to show mercy. I mean, they were going to be killed. They were under a death sentence. The only way they could escape was to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. And so they asked God for mercy. Then verse 19, we'll end with this one tonight. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. In answer to their prayer, in answer to the request for mercy, God said, "Daniel, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. And I'm going to tell you what it means, so that he'll know. He'll know, so that that king will know." And if you think about the book of Daniel, over and over again, God dealt with this wicked king in a very gracious manner. In a very gracious manner. I mean, when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire furnace, this king looked in and said, "Hey, didn't we only throw three in? I see four, and we had them tied up. Now they're all loose, and there's four walking around, and the fourth one is the Son of God, has the appearance of the Son of God." In the next chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind and goes to live with the animals, again, God was dealing with him in a very gracious manner. He came out of that experience and told Daniel, "There's no God like your God. No God like your God." And so we see God dealing with a Gentile king to make himself known to him. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join them, let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.